Y'all will be just about done with that challenge. If you don't remember what that challenge was, because you've already completed all that, then I'll refresh your memory. We talked a lot about what goes into our minds and what we allow into our minds in the way of the media. And one of those key things is the music that we listen to. And I listen to a radio station a lot that periodically mentions a 30-day challenge, which is basically just listening to only Christian music for 30 days. And several times people will call in and comment about they took the 30-day challenge and this is how it changed their life and how uplifting and edifying it is. That particular station, and I'm not advocating one or the other Christian stations, there's several that you can choose from, and of course now with the media technology that we have, there's lots and lots of options there, but it's interesting, even the news, you know, so much of the news medias are designed to get us all excited about something, you know, all the time, and it's in even the news they present, you know, in positive ways and have some positive things there. So if you hadn't done that and you'd like to, I would certainly encourage you to do that. It's I believe it'll be a beneficial experience for you. So when you see this word that comes up whenever I push the button, it's not working. It's amazing how these things work when you turn them on, apparently. Hey, there we go. All right, when you see that word, what do you typically think about? Do you think about community? Do you think about partnering? Word we don't normally associate with church. Following Christ together. It's kind of more along the lines of partnering. And also partnering that complements each one of our individual strengths and weaknesses. You know, the church is a group of, you know, some people call it a group of broken people, a group of obviously a group of sinners, a group of people that are diverse, and but we do all have different strengths and weaknesses, and as we work on church, if you will, on our group, and as on the activities and the purpose of us as the church, we certainly our activities and our strengths and weaknesses complement each other. Our interests, our passions complement each other. If you want to follow along in your Bible, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to start in verse 12. Most of us are pretty familiar with this passage, but I think we'll kind of look at it in a little bit different light, than we're typically used to looking at it. Let's read together. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we could probably put a few more categories in there that are more applicable to us, rich and poor, black and white, you know, politically knowledgeable or not, whichever side of that fence you happen to be on. Anyway, let's go on and read. We were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. Now the foot should not say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. For if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. When we think about the human body, as this, you know, obviously this analogy here, you know, we're talking about the human body. The human body interacts with itself in a wonderful way. There's so many things that we can do when all our parts are working in unison. You know, it's amazing when you think about athletes, a lot of times the things that they can accomplish when, you know, all their body parts are working together. You know, I'm never was able to hit a baseball with a bat. You know, when you think about the hand-eye coordination that's required to do that at the different levels in other sporting events, you can think about that just the incredible amount of training that some athletes go through so that each one of their body parts working in unison can really do some amazing things. Even driving. I mean, you lose one of your eyes, you can still drive, but that depth perception is not so great. And so it causes problems. And the human body can function with parts of it not there, right? You know, I remember Corey saying one time that there was some event that happened that was particularly exciting, and he commented, that didn't even get my adrenaline up. Well, that part of his body was no longer there. So he would never do anything that would get his adrenaline up. But, of course, his sense of humor was still active and alive. But if part of our body is not there, we can still function, we can still do some things, but obviously we would not be near as effective as if the whole body were finely tuned and all working properly as it should. When we think about the Corinthian church, obviously this letter was written to the Corinthian church. Paul had been writing to address several issues associated with that were happening in that church. Folks had come to Paul from Corinth and brought him some questions and some concerns from that body. And so, when we think of the church in Corinth, and we've been studying that on Wednesday nights next door, and the church had several challenges that Paul had to address, and a lot of which are not uncommon to our culture. That particular place, you know, being there on the isthmus and having this huge port and all this money coming through town and all these people waiting around for their ships to be moved through and having money and time and not being at home and all the kind of things that happen associated with that. And of course the culture itself, all the temples to the different goddesses and gods, little g there, that worshipped all kind of different ways, including crazy things like prostitutes as a part of worship, which is kind of weird in our minds. But also with the church of Corinth, they had a lot of talented members. You know, when you think about some of the key people, and here's a list of some of the key people, you know, great leaders, great teachers, hospitality folks, you know, and people that can present the gospel in a way that's very understandable. And sometimes when we get in with a group that's like that, we can have a couple of reactions. And I think that part of what Paul is getting to in these verses is to address some of those concerns that the attitude that we can take when we're around a bunch of people that are great leaders. You know, if anytime you're in even a civic group or something, and you've got, you know, a really powerful group, a lot of great leaders and active folks, you know, one of the tendencies that it's easy for us to have is say, well, you know, I'm not as good as these guys, and so, you know, I'm not really needed. I'll just kind of sit back and ride the coattails of all these other great leaders and these great, great men and women in this particular group. And that is a temptation for us in the church as well. But when you look specifically at verse 16 and 17, I think that's kind of what Paul is addressing right here. You can't say because I don't have your talent or I don't have your your role that that I'm not a part of the body. And you know, we look at verse 18, who put the body together and who put this body together? You know, we think, well, you know, we're autonomous. We came here because of whatever reason. But God has assembled the parts in the body, both the physical body and this body. And why did he do that? Obviously, there's a divine purpose he has in mind for this body. He has a divine plan. And that plan includes us all doing exactly the same thing in exactly the same way, right? Wrong, right? I mean, we're all diverse, we're all different, and God designed that divine differences so that we can support each other, we can work together, we can strengthen the weaknesses that we have between each other. When we think about this body, do you feel like that you're truly needed in this body? Do you feel like that if you weren't here, something would be missing? That you're valued? That God values your input and your participation, your role? That you are important? That the Holy Spirit is working through you in this body? What do you think of this comment? Without you, this congregation is not the body that God intends us to be. You know, when we see each other interacting in our purposes and our roles in the community, in the church, and in the body, we need that. We need that. I need to see you. You need to see me living out our role exactly the way God has designed us, has made us, has given us the passion for. And we need to see each other doing, you know, I need to see you, you need to see me, and each one in our role. And obviously God made us that way. Sharing with each other is a key element of our role together. Showing each other. You know, when you think about, I mean, I'm a better follower of Jesus when I'm following with you. You're a better follower of Jesus when you're following with someone else. We are a better follower of Jesus when we're following with each other. Ecclesiastes 4 kind of mentions some about this, about, you know, obviously there's some benefit in working together. You know, I've done projects where I've worked alone, and you can get them done. They take a longer time, but obviously the wisest man that ever lived or would ever live said, you know, obviously it's better for us to work together. And if we fall down, we can help each other up. That's physically and spiritually. That's a key aspect of working together. Think about God blessing us. God made us to bless each other and obviously those outside the community that we're trying to be a light to so that they can see us as well. Oh, this one can hurt somebody's feelings sometimes, because I know I've been in the role sometimes. Well, you know, my role at this place is to show up. Sometimes we can get into that mindset. Christianity is not a spectator sport. I made that comment the other day, and I got to thinking about it. I said, you know, Christianity really is a spectator sport, except we're just not the ones spectating, right? We're the ones that are being spectated. The whole world, spectated? That's not a word, I don't think. Oh, well, we'll just make believe that's a word. Obviously, the world is looking at us, and when we are working in unison with each other, when we're actually loving on each other, when we're loving the community in whichever way that God has gifted us and built that passion within us, then certainly we are seen, and that does draw folks to us. We are called to be the body that moves, a body that loves, reaches, forgives, invests in each other. Now we have our virtual community. Some of us are getting a little more active in the virtual community than others, but we like to like and share things in the virtual world. Obviously, our church community, Christianity, is not a virtual community. It's a real, live, actual community that we ought to be in the lives of each other, liking and sharing, because we're in each other's lives. We're working together. You know, it's interesting if we start to understand that if we truly understand that we are a needed, valuable part of this body, the attitude of coming to worship because I need it, because it's a check the box, because my spiritual growth, it stops being a part of that. It becomes something much more. And if we start understanding that the body doesn't operate well without us, the way we start looking at church is that not so much it's the pill for me to swallow and be spiritually more better, or spiritually, you know, my get out of jail free card kind of thing. But the church, I'm actually needed so the church can do what? Can fulfill its mission. And obviously we have more than one mission, but the main mission is to seek and save those that are outside of his community. The second kind of thought in this passage is this idea of I don't need you. You know, verse 21 there, he kind of switches from I'm not needed because of all these great people that are going on and because of all this other stuff that's happening, to I don't need you. And this is an interesting thought, because sometimes we get that. Sometimes we get so wrapped up and passionate about a particular Christian issue that's a viable, obviously it's an important Christian issue that needs to be addressed within our community. But sometimes we can get the mindset that it is the issue of the gospel. It is the issue of the Christian issue of the day, of the time, of this particular time. And there's a lot. I mean, we could probably make up a list of really important Christian issues that are going on in our culture today that, you know, we need to impact the world on. But if we make that list, my number one may be different than several others. And obviously in our community we have little kids that need places to live. We have old people that are homeless. We have several other issues. Obviously we have hungry people in our community. We have those outside of Christ. We have a sex industry and a sex trafficking that is in our community. And so there's lots of issues that we could be tackling. And my heart may burn for one of those issues. Your heart may burn for something else. But me saying I don't need you because I think, you know, my issue is more important than yours, is obviously very detrimental. Obviously, God has designed us with a divine difference. That's kind of what I've already said. But this is, I'm going to go ahead and read this, even though it's a little bit long, because you hear some of these sayings sometimes, and I just wanted to go ahead and kind of let us go all the way through all of this. If you hear somebody saying, I don't understand why you're not as passionate about, you know, this particular thing. You're not as passionate about this work, this part of the mission, or this issue, because it's central to being a good Christian. You know, you've heard, you know, so it's central to God's mission. It's the biggest thing that's affecting the church today. You know, I don't get it why this isn't your top priority. This is so central to the gospel. And if you're not doing this, if you're not joining me in my passion, then, you know, I don't even know if you're actually a Christian. You know, You know, that kind of language, you know, is heartbreaking to hear a Christian tell another Christian something like that. But I have not heard that here, and thank the Lord, and I appreciate us not having some of those attitudes, at least that I've been aware of. But I hear that in Christianity sometimes, and it's obviously very detrimental to our influence to those around us. And obviously that's ignoring the divine difference that God has put on each of our hearts. If we back up to verse 4 in chapter 12, it talks about the different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them, different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them and everyone is the same God at work. So when we think about the body of Christ, it is we are individually divinely different from each other. Sometimes we don't think of it in those kind of terms, divinely different. But we are also divinely put together for God's purpose. And isn't that why God has assembled us, put us here together? This concept of partnering means giving permission to each other to do what God has called each one of us to do. And not just permission, but celebrating. You know, I may not fully understand why something is so important to you, but if I spend time and to see those things, to listen to you sharing what breaks your heart, and you listen to the share what breaks my heart in the community around us, we can then be actively affirming each other's passions. Weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice, affirming our passions, each other's passions. Obviously, we need each other. We need each other's support for our own place in the body, for each of our individual place in the body. That one's kind of tricky sometimes. You get this idea, what is my role? What is the Christian role? Well, obviously, it's not made just to exist. God has a role for us. He has a plan for us. Jesus moved. He was doing things. Obviously, he desires his body to be moving, to be doing things, as he did, as he continues to do today. The church can't operate without you. The church is us, is all of us. Each of us are important to God's plan for the church, his mission to this family. So that concludes my extremely long lesson, and sorry about that. But this is not original material. I heard this not too long ago. And it really hit me as several points in this message I thought were really important that I wanted to share with y'all. And since I had this opportunity, I wanted to take it. And if there's anyone here this evening that needs anything from this congregation, obviously we're here to help. The elders are here to help in those needs. If you want to go ahead and stand, we'll sing this song of encouragement.